Welcome to Behind the Investigation on Atlanta News First. I'm investigative reporter Andy Perotti, and joining me now is my colleague, Sierra Cummings, an investigative reporter on our team as well. How are you, Sierra?
I'm doing good. Happy to be here. Really sad topic, but it's such an interesting one.
Yeah, so you have been doing this series titled Misdeeds. It's really fascinating to me because you've essentially uncovered how people can steal homes, and there's a loophole in the law. Tell us a little bit more about this series and this particular story.
It's such a tiny loophole, but it could really upend your entire life if it happens to you. We found under current Georgia law that to file a deed in the clerk's office, your county clerk's office, no ID is required to file that deed, which means in turn, no one's really proving they own the property, that they're owning the home. So what happens is anyone could really file paperwork on your home. We found out about the story last fall, so it's been a while now. We got a tip from one of our viewers who said they were trying to do something in the clerk's office and they later learned their house was no longer theirs. And from that time on, every time we did a story, we got more and more viewer emails saying, hey, this has happened to me. Unfortunately, this is the case of Robert Elder. We found out about his circumstance from his attorney. He has a home in Southwest Atlanta, and it wasn't until months after the alleged fraud, he found out that he was a victim of deed theft. Really compelling character. Here's Robert Elder's story.
Had you heard of something like this happening before?
No, ma'am, I hadn't heard. I didn't think that would happen to me.
Although in his retirement phase of life, 85-year-old Robert Elder feels like he just took on a new job, trying to correct a misdeed. For more than 50 years,
since the early 70s,
Robert built equity into his Southwest Atlanta property. In that time, he lost his sight.
I'm blind like I am.
His late wife.
I don't have a circle of people.
Now, he's even lost the home.
The deed to transfer title has your signature on it.
Somehow or another it was, but I don't know who put it on there.
Last year, a new deed was filed on Robert's house, not just once, but three different times. First in July, then again in August with updated wording labeled corrective deed, and once more in September. All transferred Robert's home to someone else. None of the signatures matched the way the 85-year-old signed his name, as shown in other official documents. As Atlanta News First investigations revealed, under current Georgia law, to file property paperwork in the clerk's office, no identification is required. No one has to prove they own the property. In effect, anyone can file deeds on your home. In Robert's case, it was not a stranger who did this. A Fulton County lawsuit accuses his own family, a stepson from his first marriage, Tory Elder.
I feel more disappointed.
Property fraud attorney Rick Allenbeck.
Mr. Elder did not sign these documents. Absolutely none. I mean, this is stealing. This is theft. And just because, you know, a gun wasn't used or because nobody broke into somebody's house doesn't mean it's not a crime that shouldn't be prosecuted.
We found two addresses linked to the son accused, Tory. He was not there. We later talked to him on the phone.
How did your dad's name get on this deed transfer when he says he never signed it?
He's lying.
Why would he be lying?
You need to talk to him about that.
So how did his name get on this deed?
The lawsuit blames the notaries, too. As long as a deed is filled out and notarized, the clerks must accept it. However, state law says notaries should stamp documents only when they witness and confirm the true identity of the signer. If Robert never signed the deeds, never met any of the notaries, why were the deeds notarized in the first place? A question we attempted to ask the notaries whose names were on these deeds, Jamila Garth and Christine Smith.
The notaries seem very elusive.
We went to properties that public records show were possibly connected to the women. We sent messages to their email addresses tied to their notary certifications. One later answered our phone call, Christine Smith.
We just want to know why you notarized the document if Mr. Robert Elder never signed it.
She refused to explain.
There's no question. Yeah, somebody notarized a document that was signed by someone who was not Mr. Elder.
As for the alleged deed theft, Robert has this to say to the man he considered a son.
Well, I think he ought to get a life and take care of his business.
So you want him to get a life, get his own life?
Well, I think he got one, but he just he doesn't want to take a shortcut in life. I think that's what he is. Don't take no shortcut.
Sierra, you really feel for Mr. Elder. And there was a quote in the story that really stuck with me, and it's from his attorney. And he said, just because a gun wasn't used, just because nobody broke into someone's house, doesn't mean it's not a crime that shouldn't be prosecuted. So what's law enforcement saying about all this?
It's really the epitome, just the heart of this series. What we found is really the person that's advocating for you should something like this happen. It's your attorney, if you can afford the attorney, if you can afford the time it takes. Because really, at this point, law enforcement say it's a civil matter. But what all the attorneys and experts point to is, hey, there is a criminal act here. There's forgery, there's fraud, or at least the allegations of it. But unfortunately, it seems like law enforcement do not prioritize this type of investigation. And we understand. I totally get it from the perspective of a police officer who's out on the street, and maybe the urgency is the violent crime in that neighborhood. Right. So just, you know, by the mere environment of law enforcement, they got to prioritize something to investigate. And it seems like this seems to be at the bottom of the totem pole. But if you're someone like Robert Elder, it's urgent to you. This is really important. My home is no longer mine.
Yeah, I mean, it could come down to simply training for these officers. Yeah. They may not be trained in knowing the law and how potentially to apply it here.
Yep.
You've spoken to some lawmakers about this issue. It is clear to some people that this is simply a loophole in the law that is allowing these things to happen. Tell us a little bit more about what lawmakers are saying and maybe doing something about it.
Yeah, it's so interesting. People are like, well, why was the law written that way? Anyway, because you have to have an ID for so many different things. What we've heard from lawmakers is that they've just never really experienced this level of alleged fraud before. And so there's two pieces of legislation that were introduced after our reporting. Both have somewhat stalled or been tabled. Both would require, it was legislation in the House Bill 888, and then legislation in the Senate, SB 474. Both would require an ID when filing a DUI. Unfortunately, both those pieces of legislation have stalled. Mm. And, you know, if you pay attention to the legislature, you know, we've got crossover day that just passed a couple days ago. And really, it's the deadline for legislation to cross over to the opposite chamber in order for it to see the light of day at the end of the legislative session. So it's really just like a stalled process at this point.
Yeah, we'll see if lawmakers pick it back up next session, especially after you continue to do these stories showing this issue. Sierra Cummings, thank you so much for providing us this great perspective and background on this investigation. You can watch more of Sierra's investigations and more from our team on AtlantaNewsFirst.com. Don't forget to register and sign up for updates. Thanks again for joining us for Behind the Investigation on Atlanta News First.